Pig, Rosie on the house. Good morning to Arizona listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Arizona Homeowners 25-year Saturday morning tradition.
Thank you. As bad as your anniversary.
We are broadcasting live before the gates open out at University of Phoenix Stadium for the Maricopa County Home and Garden Show. Big turnout yesterday. Big vendor turnout. Lots of people here. Great place to come spend the morning and get an idea of what is the newest, latest, and greatest trends in whatever project you'd like to try and tackle around your house, home, castle, or cabin. We're here. We'll be doing demonstrations a little bit later this afternoon, live on stage, revolving around Fix a Leak Week, which is coming up March 17th through the 24th. We're here trying to encourage everyone to kind of pay attention to the water consumption at their home, both inside the house and outside. It's ironic that this Fix a Week Leak and water conservation awareness is happening right at the same time the city of Williams is having some of the tightest water restriction uses in their history. No car washing, no landscape watering, and they're right to the point of now limiting and restricting the indoor water use as well. So let's all do the city of Williams a little bit of favor, and let's join with them and share, save every ounce of water we can. We're here with Bill Jenkins. We are here to take your questions about landscaping, gardening, irrigation, and watering. You reach us by dialing the toll-free number 1-888-767-4348. We've got myself and Romy and Bill right here to take your call. We've got Mike and Pete back at the studio making sure the correct buttons and dials are set. And, of course, we have our call screener, Julia, on standby waiting for your call now. Bill?
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Starting off with the what y'all were talking about beforehand, before we get to a leak, saving water also starts at your controller.
Oh, sure.
We had a wonderful rain. Was that 2 weeks ago
sure did.
Or
that
one week ago?
That was a doozy. That was a great one. You know, in my place, we got almost about an inch of rain. So I've had my irrigation system off now for well over a week, and plant material is doing fantastic. We've still just got so much water in the soil. I've been able to leave it off, and I think most people could have left it off, unless you've got some really delicate flowers in the sun. Most of the plants and shrubs and, of course, the trees, you didn't need to give any extra water.
And there's something about that rainwater that just it does more for the plants than any amount of irrigation could ever do. I don't know what it is, but that...
It's little dissolved nitrogen out of the atmosphere when it falls. It's a tiny, tiny bit of fertilizer. You don't have all the salts that we have in our groundwater. Our groundwater is pretty high in salts and minerals, so... You know, just ask the hard water guys, the software guys. So it's better for the plants. It is.
It rinses them off or something, gets that dust off, and it just makes them pop.
Yep, it does. So and yes, at your controller, as you just said, you know, there's two ways you can lose water at your irrigation system. You can either not be using water efficiently by not programming your system for the season, and that takes an awareness of understanding how to program the timer and how to water just in general. And there's lots of internet resources. WaterUseItWisely.com, we've mentioned that before. Great place to go get information about how to water your landscape. Arizona, it's AZMET.com. That's how much water you put on your lawn. It's the ET rate, or evapotranspiration. That's a big word for a Saturday morning.
yes, it is.
You know, it's basically the loss of moisture through the plants and through the soil. So, and you have to replenish that with your irrigation system. So understanding the ET rate doesn't have anything to do with phoning home. that's paramount. If you understand ET and you understand the soils, the type of soil you have, and the type of plant material, you're in business. You can set your system for the right season.
AzMAT.com.
Yep. Just a quick link to a lawn watering guide will give you an idea. If you have ryegrass, I believe the last number for this week, not taking into account the rain we had. That's the one thing. You have to account for that. But a little over a half an inch of water you needed to put on a ryegrass lawn in the last week. And then, of course, that'll be likely for next week.
Okay. Now, it's very obvious looking around, and we were talking about it walking up to the Cardinal Stadium. The bougainvilleas are out blooming. Mm-hmm. The ash trees are blooming. Mm-hmm. There was no frost that killed it off.
Not much.
So... With that in mind, it's that much more important to water efficiently because we're going to have a much longer watering season with the early spring.
Well, sure, and that comes down to maintenance. you know, check your system. If you have a drip system or a sprinkler system, take a look at it. Go for a walk. Turn it on. Run each zone. Walk around. Use your senses. You can hear a leak oftentimes under a plant or hear a leak in a part of the landscape that you might not even see the leak until you go looking for it. Obviously, look for puddles, look for water waste, turn the system on and walk it. If you do, obviously, take note of that. You're going to either need to hire somebody or fix it yourself.
I think a big part of checking your sprinkler system really is not standing there at the clock and running it through each station. You turn the station on and you go walk that station.
Go for a walk, exactly.
Just walk it slow with mm-hmm. your ears turned on, take your ear pods off, turn your iPod off. And
put your swim trunks on just in case.
If necessary.
That's right. But just look at every head. You know.
Right.
Now, sometimes in the drip systems, Bill, the head isn't visible. You know, you've got them buried. So then you've got to kind of let that station run its full cycle. It's probably in that kind of a system set for an hour or more.
Mm-hmm.
Let it run and then just go prodding for the head and verify everything's good, and gophers haven't chewed the main feed line up someplace.
And hopefully you've become familiar with your property and your system enough, or you should become familiar enough, that you can see something that's unusual. Oftentimes you'll see plant material. One plant just happens to be getting just that much larger. You might notice that's due to a leak. It happens to be in a low area or something where water's running down to it. Yes, and you know, walking, looking at the system, listening for leaks, you can hear and see most of that, and then do that, I would recommend, at least on a monthly basis.
Could I, if I wanted the most rodent-proof irrigation system on the planet, could I run PVC and just tap the spaghetti line into the PVC?
You can. There's pros and cons to every application.
Uh-huh.
And there's still a place in my heart for a good polyethylene system. Sometimes folks call it rubber hose. It's not actually rubber. It's polyethylene.
Okay.
It's designed for that application. It has pros and cons. PVC has pros and cons. There's cost issues to take into account, and how easy it is to modify. If you're a gardener, you like to change things in your landscape, the PVC system is going to be significantly more difficult to work with.
Yes.
However, it has advantages. So that's a topic for a whole show.
Okay. All right. But it would be more rodent-proof.
Yes. Obviously, PVC is going to be more durable, the actual piping itself. But all the other components in the system still have somewhat of a life limit and still need maintenance.
I caught my neighbor trying to chase gophers back under his wall to my yard. I've spent 20 years chasing them over to his house, and I've done very well. But now he's... He's trying to return them with a vengeance back into my area. So they're going to be caught in this very narrow area. We're calling it the de-rodent zone.
Back and forth.
We'll get them one way or another. So we're talking water saving. We're talking whatever you'd like to talk about. The number is 1-888-767-4348. And Romy mentioned a longer watering season. My Bermuda grass is in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to start turning the regular water on.
My clients that have not done a winter lawn, many of them, the Bermuda grass has come out and now it's green, it's pretty, and we're pretty much going into that schedule.
Yeah, I'm in a mowing watering schedule already. I'm gonna have to hit it with fertilizer soon.
And we don't need to be watering very much this time of year. I mean, the nights are still cool and the days are still very, very nice. So the real understanding of the ET rate, you'll see it really spikes going into June. That's going to be the month where we really change our systems.
In the evening, start holding up there above 75, 80, 85,
but,
in there.
But it's a slow ramp up to June, and we are going to be increasing the watering monthly here as the temperatures climb. You program your system based on the weather.
Now, we never talk about lawns without talking about converting to a xeriscape or no lawns. It always comes up. Well, somebody's finally given up. They don't want to get their mower fixed again. They don't want to get it sharpened again. They don't want to take the time to maintain it, and they just... For whatever reason, they're ready to retire.
They've sold their mower and they're done with it. Right.
Talk about the correct way to do that, because Bermuda is...
A weed in some parts of the country.
Oh, my gosh. it's very difficult to properly get rid of.
The word is tenacious. It hangs in there. Bermuda grass is something that you either need to dig out aggressively, which can take quite a bit of work. You've got to go down many inches, in some cases quite a few inches, to get the root system out, or you're going to have to kill it with an herbicide. Good old glyphosate-based chemical like Roundup, the correct Roundup. Be careful. Some of those things are called soil sterilants. You don't want to use that, and that may be a topic for our friends over at It's got the weed control.
Yeah.
But using the right chemical, understand what you're using. Get a good kill on it before you take it out. That'll save so many headaches, getting a good kill and taking the time to go through the process of chemically killing it, then removing the top layer, and now you're ready to go.
Takes time.
It does. It's not going to happen overnight.
And you got to get it healthy first. The healthier you make it.
You have to fatten it up for the slaughter. Yes.
The healthier you can get that Bermuda, then the easier and the more thoroughly you can kill it.
Right. The chemical is going to translocate into the plant and do its systemic job and kill the plant and kill the roots so it doesn't come back. And we've all seen Bermuda where someone will do a little mow or scuff off the top of it. Boy, it comes right back with some water.
And I've taken the Bermuda out of the garden. And my garden is now, it's 20 years old, so it's nice, deep, really nice garden soil. But, I mean, if I'm trying to take a blade of Bermuda out and I'm trying to excavate it, I mean, the root system is down there. It's 6-8 inches down there.
And they documented it. I read a study they said in the Arcadia area where they had flood irrigation, they had some of the roots going down 6 and 8 feet.
For grass.
Feet.
For grass, wow.
Yes.
And then if you go in there and scrape it and leave the bottom part of that root.
Well, if you've got a growth node, it's going to send growth out. You're going to have a lawn again.
Man. So. Get it growing to kill it.
And yeah, the herbicide really is the most effective way to kill it.
And the last thing we ought to cover on lawn conversion to Xeriscape is no plastic.
Oh, no.
We did that for years. It's how we did it in the
70s.
Well,
there is a process called solarizing, using a dark plastic and putting it over the soil and letting the sun basically bake the soil. That's a topic.
But you're not putting
that's not under your new inorganic mulch rock product. Correct. We don't
you
recommend using plastic.
You have to leave that black plastic sitting there the whole 6 months you're doing it.
If you're not doing something like that, there really, for me, is no real application for black plastic.
Yeah. It causes more problems than it solves.
Runoff, right? You know, the water doesn't soak into the ground.
Yeah.
You know, it's changing the water flow on the property. It's not good for plants.
And then if you do sprout a weed, it's so much harder to ever knock it out because it's buried back in there so far. All right, we're talking landscape and garden at Rosie on the House. We're broadcasting live from the University of Phoenix Stadium, where we'll be at the Maricopa County Home and Garden Show today when the gates open at 10. And we're here with Bill Jenkins in the Garden Hour answering your questions. Callers are on hold. We'll get to them right after this short break. Stay tuned.